You're wondering why I got a crutch. I didn't hurt myself, I promise you that. I got a crutch because, quite honestly, folks, many times that's what people look at Christianity as, right? Is a crutch. And they look at it as something that we have to lean on to try to keep us going through life. And some also, you know, because we're weak, we're unintelligent, according to some people. Therefore, we need something that we can lean on to bring some kind of purpose. There's a number of people that have said this. We got this guy who is his name is Jesse Ventura, not Ace Ventura's dad, but Jesse Ventura. He's a former governor of Minnesota, and he said organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength. In numbers, nice. Some of you guys know this guy, Larry Flint. Yeah, Larry Flint, the producer of Hustler magazine, said, there's nothing good I can say about religion. People use it as a crutch. You know, I was looking at the pictures of Larry Flint, and I thought, buddy, you don't need a crutch, you need a defibrillator, but that's a different story. Then there's Ted Turner. You remember Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner? He said, Christianity is a religion for losers. Well, there you go, thank you. You're stealing my thunder here, because I was gonna actually say that in a second. They've got this idea that Christianity is like a pacifier for babies, and somehow it keeps us quiet. And you know, I have to agree with Ted Turner. It is a religion for losers, and it is. And I love to be a loser. I love to lose my shame, my guilt, my addictions, all those things, and in turn get hope, love, and freedom. Come on, don't you love that? Yeah. But folks, see, here's the thing: Christianity is not a crutch. Christianity is a battle. It is a battle. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you know this verse: for our struggle is what? It's not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what our battle is about. I love, there's a pastor, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. I'm going to a video, by the way, just in a second here, so prepare yourself. There's a pastor that, his name is Jay John. And I love what he says about Christianity being a crutch. And you know what, I can't say it as good as he said it. So I'm just going to show you about a 1 minute video clip from this guy, a pastor, British pastor named Jay John.
My final lecture is like I must have given about 16 lectures, and the student comes
can we
up
crank it?
And he says, I've listened to all your lectures and I've enjoyed them. I said, yeah, you know. And then he goes, this is what he said, but personally I believe Christianity is a crutch. And I looked at him and I thought, I hope you break your legs. random thought. And then I said to him, listen, if you broke both of your legs, would you appreciate the use of a wheelchair to get around? He says, yes, I would. I said, if you broke one leg, would you appreciate the use of crutches to get around? He says, yes, I would. I said, I'm a broken person. So are you. I've never met a person who isn't broken. And I'm so pleased I can lean on Jesus while he's putting me back together again.
Amen. Isn't that the truth? Again, Ephesians chapter 6, our struggle. Let me tell you something, folks. The struggle, the battle that we have, the battle that we are fighting, is not a battle that is somehow done in a country like Afghanistan or in some war-torn country. The battle that we are fighting right now is a battle up here. It's the biggest battle that we fight is a battle of the mind. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us through and in this battle like never before. We are doing a series right now on the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about how do we battle? How do we battle appropriately? How do we battle in the Spirit in our day and age? And I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 5, verses 16 to 23. I actually brought my glasses today so I can actually read. Isn't that exciting? Galatians chapter 5. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to read verses 16 to verse 23. You know this portion very, very well. Here's what it says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict. They're at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the one we all know. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you give us your Holy Spirit so that we can stand in the day of evil, that we can take a stand for righteousness, that we know that you are for us, that you are not against us. We thank you, Lord, that we have hope, that we have strength, that we have focus, we have a vision, we have a future because of you and because of your Son and because of your Spirit living in us. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, would you speak clearly to us today as we look into this portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The battle. We are in a battle of the Spirit. And the first thing we got to do in order to actually make it in this battle is folks, we got to surrender. Now, you're sitting there going, hang on a second, Wes. You're talking to me about a battle, and the first thing I got to do is surrender as I enter into the battle. Well, yeah. Actually, I'm not saying it. God is saying it. Here's what it says in the portion. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Completely be consumed by the Holy Spirit. Abandon ourselves into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, here's the thing. We need Him to guide us through some treacherous areas, do we not? We need His strength. See, I don't think that the idea of a crutch is such a bad thing, actually. Because I think there are times where we are going through a place of darkness where we need somebody to guide us through. We need somebody to show us the way to go. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to keep us from going places we shouldn't go. Now, this is a picture of my dog. It's not him himself. It's a picture of him. This is Oreo. And Oreo, He likes to go for walks. He goes crazy when we say, you want to go for a walk? And he goes nuts, right? Right? Anybody got dogs like that? He goes crazy when you tell him you want to go for a walk. And so we take him out onto the street. And the thing you got to watch about Oreo is that when you take him out in the street and he's walking through the street, he's going to eat any garbage he finds. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever's there and it's got any bit of a smell, he's going for it. And I found, you know, for myself, I'm more like Oreo than I am like an overcomer. I'm not talking about walking down the streets and peeing on all the pools and eating all the... But sometimes I have to have the Spirit of God to pull me back, and as we do to Oreo, to grab that leash and say, hey, you know what? That's not a place you need to go. That's a place that you need to avoid. We need the Spirit of God to show us the areas that we need to avoid. Here's what it says. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want to do. See, my sinful nature, and you've got one too, keeps me wanting to go to that garbage on the side of the street. Keeps me wanting to go to places I know I shouldn't go. And like I said, I need the Spirit of God to pull me back and to hold me back. See, we need God's Spirit to guide us, folks. We need to surrender to His Holy Spirit so He can, in fact, guide us. Like a strong arms of an individual showing us the right ways to go. We need His Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, He will be there to give us strength. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit, it says in His Word. Then you will not be under the law. So we need to start by surrendering. And you know, in my notes, my second point goes to, we need to have him help us and be opposed in those areas that try to bring us down. And I wanted to go through this list of sexual sins and other type of sins. But you know, I thought, you know, this morning when I was driving in, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna skip that for now. And I'm gonna go to third point. I'm gonna go to point three, because I think it's so good that we start with what is wonderful and uplifting before we go to the other stuff. Okay, you with me? We need to be, the Holy Spirit, this battle we are in, he helps us to produce the right things, the right type of fruit in our lives. Now, I brought a piece of fruit here this morning, and most of the time when we bring fruit, we bring an apple, right? But I brought an orange, because I like oranges. Anybody with me? Oranges are good. Good. You can't have this one, because I'm going to eat it later on. But see, God has given us the capability of producing proper fruit in our lives. And this is what he says, and you know this verse so well. He said, let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You are getting really good at that. Really, really good. Much better than when we started. It used to be, it was all over the map. But there's a couple of things I want to focus on. And I could spend an entire sermon on every one of these words. Actually, Pastor Les, we probably could spend a whole week on every one of these words, or four sermons each. But we just don't have that time. Unless you want to stay for the. Anybody want to stay for the rest of the? I didn't think so. Rest of the day. But let me start with a couple of words. First word there is the word but. I love that word, but, and I'll tell you why in just a second. See, because here's the thing. What Paul is talking about is there is some rotten garbage that he talked about previous to this verse. And he says, we can get caught up in that, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's something so much better. But God's got a plan. But God wants to show you a place where you can find fulfillment, where you don't have to be finding yourself in a place of being completely devastated and so forth. But God has a plan for you. And I wanted you to grab onto that. When we are going through the challenges of life, remember there's a but. Remember there's a but. Remember there is a way out. Remember God's got a plan. And the other word I want to really focus on here is that he says, but the fruit of the fruit. He doesn't say fruits. He says fruit. He says one fruit. See, here's the thing. You can say, I got love, but I got a real problem with self-control. Well, here's the thing. With the regard to the fruit of the Spirit, it's all or nothing. Are you following me? It's all or nothing. You can't pick and choose and say, well, at least I can, you know, at least I've got patience, but man, I'm not going to be very gentle with this individual. It's all or nothing. And see, you can't do this. You think you can do it. You think you can produce this stuff, but you know what? You really can't. It's got to be the fruit of who? It's got to be the fruit of the Spirit. It's got to be the Spirit working in you and I to bring about this fruit and to bring about in a way that honors God. Well, you know what? I there's so much that could be said about the fruit of the Spirit, and we don't have time to get through to speak about all of them. But let me run through them very quickly. He says the fruit of the Spirit is first of all love. Love, which the term means agape or unconditional. It's the love of God that he has for us, and it's the love of God that he puts in your life to show to others. And let me say this, folks. There is nothing more important than this. If we could stop right here, I've done it justice. Because unless we have love, the love of God in our lives, everything else is immaterial. When you live your life as a Christian, unless the love of God is there, unless you can look at someone else and say, God, help me to love them, regardless of who they are, regardless of the situation that they're in, regardless of what they say against you, if you can't say, God, help me to love, then you've missed the mark. You missed the point. And you can't do it. That's why you need the Spirit of God to show that love in your life. Joy is godly optimism and inward sufficiency that is not affected by outward circumstances. You can't always be happy. And I know there are times you're just not happy. I know there are times where you're sitting there and you go, man, this just sucks. Lord, life is just like, I don't like it. The situation is just, I want out. And happiness is just not there. God never promised you happiness. He promised you joy. And joy is it's a godly optimism, an inward sufficiency. I have enough through God, not through what you've done, but through God's Spirit that is living in you. Love, joy, peace. Godly contentment in spite of our circumstances. I heard on the news this week that the Americans are sending more troops over to Iran. They say that it's, you know, just to keep peace. Just to keep peace, right? 1,500 troops to keep peace. And I'm thinking there's not going to be a heck of a lot of peace from 1,500 troops, right? We are in a battle around the globe. There is no peace on this globe. History says that the only time there was peace is when people stopped just long enough to reload their guns. We are constantly in a battle around this world. Worldly peace won't happen. We need the peace of God, and we need it in our own lives and in our own minds. And if you're struggling, if you're in turmoil, if you're going through situations where you're sitting there and going, God, I can't do it. How about you stop and say, God, can you fill me with this part of the fruit of the Spirit? Will you, by your Spirit, fill me with the peace that can only come from you? Patience. I like this word. I like this word because it comes from two different words. The first word in the original language means something that is far away or long distance, far from you. And the second word, which I find interesting, is a word that means furious or burn with intense anger. Furious or burn with intense anger. Now, I know the second part because I've been there and I've said some crazy things when I'm furious or I'm burning with intense anger. But the word itself means to be far away from furious and intense anger. Long-tempered, in complete contradiction to being short-tempered. See, God can do that for us. God can do that for us and give us the ability to be long-tempered even when we want to blow our fuse. Kindness is a gracious attitude of being helpful and concerned for others. I love this picture because it's a picture of something that happened in Mexico in the triathlon in 2016. And what it is a picture of Alistair Brownlee carried by his brother Johnny. Now, they had run the triathlon and they had come to almost to the finish line. They were about a kilometer and a half from the finish line. And if you get a chance to watch the video clip of this, it's well worth watching. It's on YouTube. And what it is as they're coming towards the end, Alistair, he starts faltering. And and it's almost like he's drunk. He doesn't really know which way to go. And he's so close. He's like 1.5K from the finish line. And his brother comes running up, and man, he could have got a prize. He could have run right by him. But what he does was so cool. He comes alongside of him. He grabs and put his arms, and he carries him the next kilometer and a half across that finish line. And I thought, man, what a beautiful picture of the church. Shouldn't that be like us? That we could go to that finish line. We could complete this thing. We could do, we've got too many things to do, and we could run right past that person. But kindness says we're going to slow down enough to help that person along. Kindness. We need a little bit more of kindness in the church. Goodness is love in action, similar to what we have just witnessed there. The faithfulness is being dependable and the last one is gentleness. Oh, sorry, not the last one. Gentleness is my power under God's control. By the way, I love this word because sometimes we translate it meekness. In the King James, it's translated meekness, and some people look at it as weakness. It's not weakness. It's having my power under God's control, and self-control is having my desires under God's control. See, here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, really, it starts with love, and it has to be encapsulated by love. I love what one person says about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, love must be in all of it. Joy is love exalted. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love with bowed heads. Goodness is love in action. Faithfulness is love confiding. Gentleness is love in refinement. And self-control is love obeying. Isn't that good? Every part of our lives needs to be backed up with love. How is the fruit of your spirit in your life? What does it look like in your life? Are there areas, as we have looked at this list very, very quickly, that maybe not so strong? See, here's the thing. It's one fruit, and it comes not from you somehow producing it in your own strength. It comes from asking the Holy Spirit to instill it in you. And if it's not there, if there are areas that you are lacking in some of these qualities, can I encourage you? Ask the Spirit of God to just fill you. Okay, I'm going to jump back now, because see, here's the good stuff, and I really want to encapsulate the good stuff. But there are things that we have to understand when it comes to this battle that we are in, that there are some opposing forces that come against us. And Paul gives us a big list of some of these opposing forces. I've read them earlier, and there's quite a number of different things. But let me break these down into three different categories. There are what are seen as sexual sins, there are superstitious sins, and there are social sins in these categories. See, here's the thing, folks. When you look at this list, in many ways, what you see there is something good that the devil has corrupted. Something good that the devil has corrupted and made something bad. He's created sex, and it is good, it's pure, it's proper when it's done in the confines of a marriage. He created religion. True religion is a good, healthy thing. He created relationships, and we'll talk about all of these in a minute. But they're good when they are handled in a setting that honors God. But when they are grabbed by the enemy, my wife is going to kill me on this one. I found this in my car, actually. I had left it in there for about a week. They are strawberries. You see them? Aren't they great? Now, strawberries are a wonderful fruit. They're amazing fruit. I think I've got the cure for cancer in this thing here, but they are amazing fruit. But if you leave them long enough, you turn to wine or something. Anybody wanted a little snack here this morning? No, I didn't think so. Not so much. See, the problem is these things are good stuff, but if you don't, see, I even brought a little schmick thing here to clean my fingers. If we don't allow the fruit to be taken care of by the Holy Spirit, the enemy will corrupt. He will corrupt. So let's take a look at this stuff here quickly. The first opposing sins are the sexual sins. And he talks about three different types of sins here. He talks about sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasure. Immorality comes from the Greek word porneia. Does that sound familiar at all? Porneia. From that we get the word pornography. In the Bible, actually, it means any sexual activities that is outside of marriage. See, it was a big problem back in the first century, this whole area of immorality, a very, very big problem as it is today. Actually, in the first century, in the Greek culture, the extramarital affairs were very, very big. And in that culture, a guy could basically do whatever he wanted, but you women could not do any of it, right? There is a writer by the name of Demosthenes, and he said this. He says, we keep mistresses for pleasures, concubines for daily concubinage. I don't know. But wives we have in order to produce children legitimately and to have a trustworthy guardian of our domestic property. It's got to kind of suck for a woman. See, because here's the thing. We can, as guys, we can do what we want. We can have as many mistresses as we want, any concubines for daily concubinage, whatever that is. And but here's the thing. We got to, wives, your place is right there. You take care of the house. You take care of the children, and that's your place. See, unfortunately, it's very much like that in some ways in our culture. Because, see, here's the problem. In many ways of thinking, women are looked at as things, or they're looked at as animals. Bunnies, Playboy bunnies, right? And folks, be on guard. See, because this is a weapon the enemy uses very strongly. Secondly, he talks about impurity. Impurity means filth or refuse. Moral thoughts or actions or speech that is filthy. It's the absolute opposite of purity. Actually, this word immorality in the original language is the same word that is used of a wound that is pussing and oozing. What a beautiful picture that is, huh? And see, here's the problem when it comes to immorality. That's the way God sees that, as something that is awful and that is oozing. Can I just say something? It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be acting out on this, but if you are allowing your brain to go there or your mouth to go there, it's just as wrong. Don't come to me. Don't come to me and tell me jokes that are inappropriate. Okay? And don't do it to others. Because here's the thing. First of all, they're inappropriate. Secondly, it reveals a little bit of what's down here. You following me? Impurity. Guard yourself. Guard yourself against impurity. The next one is sensuality. Sensuality is to indulge in sexual activities without shame and without concern for what others think or how they may be affected. When I thought about sensuality, and especially this definition, my mind could not help but go to human trafficking. And the reason it went there is because it is so prevalent in our society today. It is a $150 billion industry. Think about that. They say human trafficking is more lucrative than the drug trade. All drug trades combined is not as lucrative as human trafficking. Some of the statistics, 21 million victims worldwide, 71% of women of them are women and girls, 29% are men and boys, 54% of the human trafficking is sexual exploitation. You know what's so sad about this whole thing? If you look at some of the other statistics, 8% are for organs, but what's so sad is 50% of human trafficking victims are less than 16 years old. That makes me mad. And I hope that makes you angry as well. You know, I looked at one of the places where human trafficking is very, very prevalent. It's in India. And in India, some of the statistics are shocking. Shocking. India has ranked the fourth in modern slavery. In India, a slave is sold, or a child goes missing every 8 minutes. The average age of a slave or a child sold into slavery is 12. But here's the crazy thing, and I don't know if you can see this. Children as young as 4 are sold into prostitution. 40%, 46% of traffickers are known to their victims. In India, more than 75% of trafficked victims are women and girls. There are 14 million slaves in India today, and this is what really hit me. You know what the average price is for a slave in India today? It's 700 rupees. So I went online and I looked at how much is 700 rupees in Canadian dollars. The average cost value of a child that is sold to sexual promiscuity in India today is $13.50. Now you know why I'm such a strong proponent of child sponsorship, why I believe in it. And we, Michelle and I, we sponsor two children ourselves. I am a strong proponent of when our missionaries show up, when the Emmanuels show up from India and they start talking about some of the things they're doing, I'm like, go get them, girl. Go get them, boy, man. Get them. Let's do something positive because I hate this stuff. And you know what I hate about this? And we're talking about sexual sin. You know what I hate about this stuff? It's because sensuality and lustful pleasures doesn't consider this at all. Because, see, here's the problem. A lot of the pornography and all that comes from people that have been sold into sexual slavery and are forced to do things that they never want to do. I know I spent a little bit more time talking about sexual stuff, but I think this is a weapon that the enemy is using that we have to be very, very aware of. Paul goes on and he talks about other sexual sins. He talks about drunkenness and orgies. Drunkenness, very rampant back then and very rampant today. Orgies back there in the Roman culture, man, it was all about that. Big parties, lots of garbage going on. And guess what? Then at the end of these parties, there was a lot of sexual activities that were just not okay. And I thought, man, that's not happening today, right? That doesn't happen today. And I got on the internet, and whoever is my internet accountability people, you might get a little bit of a report here. But I was very careful, okay? But I said, does orgies happen today? And they do. They happen in many places, but there's actually a place called hedonism. Did you know that? There's actually a resort called hedonism found in, this is just where it's found. I love the people from this place, but it's found in Jamaica. And it's where everything goes. Now, I didn't go any further than that because I didn't want to get red flags and stuff like that on my internet report. But I thought, you know, we live in a society that's prevalent in sexual immorality. Before I move on, I just want to say something from a book that I've just finished reading by a guy by the name of Kyle Eidelman. And the book is called Grace is Greater. And I love this book. I strongly would recommend you reading this book, Grace is Greater by Kyle Eidelman. He tells a story about a pastor named John LaRue. And he went into an organization called Love in Action. And he wanted to see about what this organization is all about. It's basically what it is. It's an organization similar to AA where people come together that have been struggling with sexual addiction, and they come together and they talk. And one guy got up and he said, I just want you to know that a little while ago, I was driving home from work and I drove past an adult nightclub and I wanted to stop. And as he said that, a bunch of hands went up. And the pastor looks around and goes, man, what a crazy time to ask a question. Why would people want to ask a question in the middle of this? But the guy kept speaking. He didn't even take notice of the hands. He says, I wanted to stop. I knew I shouldn't, but I stopped and I went inside. And he said a whole bunch of other hands went up at the same time. And he says, I went inside and he says, for the next couple of hours, I did things that I shouldn't have done. And I felt so incredibly guilty when I finally left the place. And a number of hands went up. Then he says, you know what I felt? I felt like God could never love me. I felt like God could never forgive me. I felt like I had completely ruined my relationship with God and I'm worthless. And he says almost every hand went up in that place except for this pastor. And at the end of the service, the host came up to the pastor and says, so what was your thoughts of the gathering? He says, I'm confused. He says, I'm confused because he said, there are so many questions that we're wanting to be answered, and nobody answered these questions. And I love what this guy said. He says, we have one rule at Love in Action, and the rule is this. You don't struggle alone. If someone else is struggling with the same thing you are going through, they raise their hand and they say, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Folks, you don't struggle alone here. Can I just say that? You don't struggle alone. When it comes to some of these situations, you don't struggle alone, and there is a way out of it. God has given us a way out. And that's why we have to remember the Holy Spirit is there to guide us through it. So we have the sexual sins. We have the other opposing sins, or the superstitious sins that he talks about. He talks, first of all, about idolatry. Idolatry is simply, it's putting things ahead of God. Anything that we put ahead of God or in front of God or made more important than God, anything becomes an idol. I love what someone once said. They said this: we are to worship God, love people, and use things, but too often we use people, love things, and or love self and worship things, leaving God out of the picture completely. Isn't that true? That we so often become consumed with this thing called idolatry. The other thing he talks about in this list is witchcraft. It's interesting, if you look at the term witchcraft, here's the term. I'm not even going to pretend I know how to pronounce that, but the Greek term, it means a secret tampering with and at times a worship of the powers of evil. But the word pharmakeia, from that word we get the word pharmacy. Now, obviously, God is not against pharmacies. But see, here's what happened in that culture, is that what they would do is they would give you drugs. And that's what the word actually refers to, is drugs. They would give you drugs to somehow invoke some sort of trance or somehow invoke some sort of a place where you can then be open to the spiritual world. You know why I hate drugs so much? It's because of this. It was used for witchcraft, and I hate it, and we should hate them as well. Not Tylenol. I use them every once in a while, and I think you probably do as well. You know what I'm talking about. So superstitious sins, and last he talks about different social sins. He talks about a whole bunch of them that I'm not even gonna go through very closely here. He talks about hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, divisions, and envy. All, you know what this list tells me? When you look at this list of these sins, it's about me, isn't it? It's about putting ourselves first. It's man, you're not listening to me, so we become hostile. You don't understand my way of thinking, so we begin to quarrel. We become jealous when somebody else is doing better than ourselves, or we become angry and we burst out in anger, and it's all about self, isn't it? When I wrote this sermon this week, I didn't know how to end. I thought, God, you've got a story. I need a story to end with. And I don't know if you heard what's happened this week, but we had an interesting experience here at the church yesterday. We had the media show up. And if anybody here listens to News 11:30, we were all over the news. And there was a number of things that were said that were, well, basically it says, church does not, welcomes Christians only. And it's talking about us as a church. And the reason being is there's an event happening here on Wednesday, which is put on by a gentleman that I know. And it's about the whole curriculum that has been put out called SOGI. And the purpose of this event is for believers to educate the believers in a faith-based community, to give them a safe place they can hear this curriculum in a safe environment. That's the purpose of having it here. We're having it in the prayer chapel beside us here Wednesday at 6:30. If you're interested, it's well worth seeing. It's well worth hearing. It's at 6:30. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of people that are very, very upset that we would in any way be showing this stuff. So we have, if you go onto the internet, you find articles like this: Surrey Church under fire for exclusive Christian-only anti-SOGI event. The only person that actually liked this newscast was Trish, because when they showed the picture, you see at the very front are planters. That's her flowers she planted. So she said, hey, my flowers are on TV. But yeah. You see, my point is we are in a battle. We are in a battle, and when you take a stand for righteousness, you're going to be targeted. Are you hearing me? And you think, man, that doesn't make any sense. I just want to do good. And we as a church just want to do good. We want to give people information about this curriculum that's out there. But anytime you take a stand, folks, you're going to be targeted. Can I encourage you with this? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so did they persecute the prophets that were before you, and so did they persecute our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying this is persecution, please. But what I'm saying is, be aware that you are in a battle. This is not some game that we're playing, folks. Our faith is a battle, and we have a responsibility, and we have an important step we've got to take, and that is to say, God, help me to be aware. Help me to be aware that the enemy is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you have come that I may have life and have it more abundantly. And that we live that out. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time. And I don't know where you're at right now in your battle, because I think everyone here is in some sort of battle. Maybe you're doing really well. Things are going well. You've gone through some challenges, and it's going well. Wahoo! Praise God. Praise God. But maybe you're not. Maybe things are not going so well. Maybe you're feeling the squeeze. Maybe you're feeling the opposition. Maybe you're feeling the turmoil. Maybe you just need to know that God is for you, not against you. We're going to sing a couple songs here in closing. And I'm going to ask, Eileen, I know I haven't talked to you ahead of time, but if we can get the prayer team up here. And if you're in a place right now, you just need prayer. And I'm going to ask those that can help pray. If you can come just to the side, for the prayer team. But if you just want some private time, you and God today, and you just want to take a few moments, you and God today, and say, God, I need help. And maybe there's things you don't want the prayer team to pray about. Prayer team, if you can just make your way over there, and we're going to squish over there. Thank you. But if you just need to have some quiet time, we're going to open this side up right here for those that simply just want to have some quiet time with God. We got about 15 minutes before it's noon, before your chicken burns. It's all good. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Father, the battle is real. And I think that there's probably more people here than not that feel the opposition, that feel, maybe even feel defeated. Feel, God, I let you down. Like in this story that we recounted here this morning. God, you are for us. You are for us. You are for us. You love us. You have hope. You have a future. You have a plan. God, you want us to excel. And Lord, if there are those here this morning that just need to know that somebody is there with them to pray with them, God, help them to have the boldness to stand up to seek prayer from our team here. There are those, God, this morning that just want to take a few moments in quietness before you and just say, God, would you just flood my life with more of you? Lord, help them to do that. But God, help us to take some time today just to seek you, to seek you and to call on you and to say, God, I need you. I need you in this challenge I'm going through. I need you in what lies ahead. Maybe it's going really well, but God, I know in the next couple days I'm going to be confronted with some stuff. Father, please, that we would take time to seek you here this morning. In Jesus' name. Why don't we stand at this time? Again, if you want prayer, stand with me, please. If you want prayer, personal prayer, the team is here to pray with you. If you just want to take some quiet time, you and God, just you and God, and say, God, I just want to spend some time with you. I'm encouraging you to come this side of the altar. Let's take some time to pray as we are led in worship.